I want to talk about some things that are happening, maybe some things that are prophesied to happen. But I want you to believe that no matter what happens, there is no power on earth or in heaven. No power has ever been invented or shall be invented that can separate you from the tremendous love that God has for you. Last week, we were in the book of Daniel. Would you turn back there with me? I was sharing some scripture out of Daniel chapter 7 that we as Adventists build a lot of theology toward. And that is that scripture repeats certain things in prophecy over and over. And when the Bible repeats a truth, it's very important to God and we need to pay attention. And one of the major truths in the book of Daniel and Revelation is the predictability of the rise and fall of certain great world powers. And you are well taught in the idea that the kingdoms of Babylon and Medo-Persia and Greece and Rome and the pagan Roman Empire and the papal Roman Empire came in succession, right on time, as the Bible predicted. And very, very few people of any faith or denomination argue about that particular succession of world powers. And last Sabbath here in the book of Daniel chapter 7, we were talking about the lion and the leopard and the bear and the fourth beast, which was great and dreadfully terrible. But what I was really wanting to talk about last week, we did speak of it, and I want to pick up there in continuation today. Of all of the things that happen, all of the rise and fall of those great world empires are important. But it's more important to understand that God is setting up a kingdom, and God's people are going to inherit a kingdom that will never pass away, it will never change, and it shall never be destroyed. Notice with me in Daniel chapter 7, if you will, beginning with verse 18. He says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom, and they shall possess the kingdom forever, and even forever and ever." Let your eyes come on down to verse 22. He says, "Until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for something to happen." What is it? The time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Now notice verse 27. "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High." His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So here we have three times in the book of Daniel this awesome conclusion to the story that God's people are going to inherit the kingdom. Now that's going to be a great day. That kingdom is different from all other kingdoms. That kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, an immortal kingdom in which the saints of God possess the city of God, the New Jerusalem, and eventually inherit this earth made new without sin. But until then, we have to hang on. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, "And at that time," something's going to happen, "Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered. The same people here in Daniel 12 are the same people represented in Daniel 7 as being the saints of God that inherit the kingdom of God. At that time, at the time appointed, if you please, everyone shall be delivered, and everyone who is found written in the book of life. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, let's just pause right here for a moment. We are living between these chapters in the book of Daniel. Daniel 7 has already been fulfilled. And in Daniel 12 is this prediction about the coming of Christ, the great resurrection morning when the dead in Christ shall rise. We are living right there. You are living in the time of prophetic fulfillment. 14 years ago, yesterday, on 9/11, some events happened that you also know very well, that have a great impact in the course of America. You may have watched some of the programming yesterday commemorating the events of 9/11 and the terroristic destruction of the World Trade Centers in New York. You might even could tell me this morning where you were when that happened. I remember what I was doing because I got a phone call, and my friend on the other end was screaming into the phone. I could barely make out the message. And she said, "We have been attacked. We have been attacked." Well, I was in Calhoun, Georgia. I wasn't being attacked. But after turning on the news and listening a little bit, I began to be somewhat fearful of what might happen next. What happened as a result of 9/11, 14 years ago, has impacted all of our lives today, not just socially and economically, politically, but also in a very real way religiously. We've been teaching for years that America has a distinctive role in Bible prophecy, that God has blessed America, that we are here by design and with purpose. But near and at the close of time, just before the appointed time when Jesus shall come and the saints of God inherit the earth, there shall be a time of great trouble. But remember, nothing is going to separate us from the love or the power of God, or even from the authority of Scripture. I found an article I've been trying to pull it up here while I've been preaching. I want to read just part of this one article here. And if you're interested in things like this, there's a lot on the internet. But the man that wrote this, his name is Matthew Green. And I'm just going to read it word for word. Will you let me do that? I'm trying to get across the idea that America changed because of 9/11. And your life has changed. And so also our church has been impacted. 14 years ago, he writes, the United States wasn't officially engaged in any wars. Few of us had ever heard of Al-Qaeda or Osama bin Laden. and ISIS didn't exist. We deported half the number of the people we do today. Our surveillance state was a fraction of its current size. And maybe hardest to believe, you didn't have to take your shoes off at the airport. America's involvement in the war on terror, prompted by the 9/11 terrorist attacks, resulted in changing attitudes and concerns about safety and vigilance. It ushered in a new generation of policies like the USA Patriot Act that prioritized national security and defense, often at the expense of civil liberties. These changes had ripple effects across the globe, particularly in the Middle East, where American-led military operations have helped in the rebellions and unrest throughout that region. He writes of four dramatic transformations brought on by the events of that day. Now, I'm only going to read of one of them here. The first one he lists as a major impact has to do with our military and the ongoing wars. Less than a month after 9/11, U.S. troops invaded Afghanistan in an attempt to dismantle al-Qaeda, the terrorist group that claimed responsibility for the attacks, and to remove the Taliban government. 2 years later, in March of 2003, the United States invaded Iraq, deposed President Saddam Hussein. I remember watching that on TV. Do you? Although not directly linked to the terrorist attacks, Hussein was suspected of producing weapons of mass destruction, although none were ever found. And that invasion was a key part of America's newly launched war on terror under the leadership of then-President George W. Bush. Our military involvement in Afghanistan turned into the longest-running war in U.S. history. And although formal U.S. combat operations ended in late 2014, our military remains deeply entrenched there in an effort to help stop the ongoing Taliban insurgency. In December of 2011, remaining U.S. troops were pulled out of Iraq, leaving that nation in a far more volatile state than when military operations first began in 2003. And currently, as the Islamic extremist group ISIS, which sprouted from the resultant political instability of war, continues to grow and threaten the stability of Iraq and neighboring Syria, the U.S. has again resumed airstrikes in that region. Now listen to this. After 9/11, budgets for defense-related agencies skyrocketed. Well, we know about the rise of taxes, don't we? Homeland Security's discretionary budget jumped from about $16 billion in 2002 to more than $43 billion in 2011. From $16 to $43 billion. Do you feel any safer today than you did, though, 10 years ago? Meanwhile, the budgets of the Coast Guard, the Transportation Security Administration, and Border Patrol have all more than doubled since 2001. Millions of young soldiers have been deployed overseas. Thousands have been killed. Many have returned home with physical and mental injuries. And the article just goes on and on, giving detailed information as to how the events of 9/11 helped shape in the military work of our great country. We appreciate those in our military, don't we? Men and women who serve. Now here's my problem. I have a spiritual responsibility. I have always felt that God put me in ministry for a reason and a purpose at a distinct time. And if God ever chooses to lead me some other direction, He will make it just as clear. I don't even know anyone on Wall Street. I cannot pick up my phone and call someone on Wall Street. I don't know anyone up there. I don't really know anyone personally who works at the state capitol in Georgia, or who is in the Congress or the Senate. And I know who President Obama is, but he would not know my name. I don't feel I can work on Wall Street or in the legislative halls of justice. I don't really know by name a wounded veteran that I am really close to. I don't even know by name, except one lady who's having immigration issues. Now, there are thousands of people, millions in America right now, who would love to have the privilege of being an American citizen. And we are engaged in a mighty war as to what to do with people who are not legal citizens of this country. Personally, I don't know how to influence any of that decision. I did not even know what anthrax was until a few years ago. I began hearing about white powder being mailed to certain men in political office and judges, and how anthrax could be sprinkled into the ductwork of large buildings and many people killed. I don't know much about electrical grid hacking. I've read of how the United States could be cut off very quickly. Our nation's controls in transportation and finance and other important areas could all just be wiped and shut down instantaneously. Bible says the saints are going to possess the kingdom. The Bible says there shall be a great time of trouble. I see events taking place in the last 14 years. We don't even have time this morning to talk about some of our rights that we have given up in exchange for freedom. And it seems like I'm saying a lot of I don'ts this morning, but I'm just telling you the truth. I don't even know to what extent information is being gathered on each of us. I could not even tell you who they represent. But if you are reading and interested, the they have social profiles on each one of us, whether or not you use Facebook or even have a computer. I just hope whoever's keeping up with my purchases at Kroger, I just hope they always keep almond chocolate milk for sale. And when my number comes up, they say, this customer every Friday buys a half gallon of almond milk that's vanilla flavored and a half gallon that's chocolate. It's there in some database. Your civil liberties have been greatly impacted by what happened 14 years ago. But that's not the end of the story. Something will happen next. I'm not smart enough, nor even do I wish to try to be a prophet and predict what's going to happen. All I know is I want to be on the Lord's side. All the way through whatever is being planned against America, I want to be a soldier in the army of Christ. I want to have enough training to be a good soldier. I did something this morning I don't often do. I stayed out of Sabbath school and I spent an hour praying. I knew I needed God's presence today in this message. I just pray. God, let me know who in that audience you are working with. He who sees the secret recesses of our heart can take the simple words, bury them deep into the heart of a person who's searching for a better way of life, and through the power of God Almighty, lives are changed through what the Bible speaks of as the foolishness of preaching. And my hope, my prayer is that this morning, each of our lives would continue to change. To change for the better. To have a faith that in the midst of economic and political and military and spiritual chaos, to have a heart and a mind that says, I will not give up, I will not give up in, I'm going to hang on, I'm going to be covered with Jesus' life, I know He loves me, and nothing is going to separate me from His power.